First Samuel. We're going to continue through First Samuel this morning. We didn't get too far the other day. We just got started on it. We was talking about Hannah and talking about her prayer for a child. And I believe this is one of the wonderful stories in the Bible. I believe Hannah is one of the great examples of a mother that we can look to, and we can find some tremendous principles, I believe, that Hannah used, that Hannah did as a mother, and certainly as a servant of the Lord. She called herself a handmaid of the Lord. And so I believe that we can learn, I believe, from her some tremendous truths. And then, of course, we can learn from her child Samuel as he grows in the book of 1 Samuel and becomes a man of God, an important man of God, a prophet of God. And we can learn from this, I believe. So if you remember last week, we discussed, of course, Peninnah was the wife of Elkanah, the second wife of Elkanah. And she was the one that was giving Hannah a lot of problems, a lot of trouble. If you remember that, we talked about how that in the scripture here, and we'll go to that in verse 7 of chapter 1. It says, well, let me read verse 6 also. It says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And what he's saying there is, of course, that Hannah had went a lot of years and could not have children. And the Bible says that God had shut up the womb. In other words, God's the one that controls those things. And we find that Peninnah was one who laughed at her, mocked at her, gave her a hard time because she had children and Hannah could not have children. And then in verse 7 it says, as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. And as I remember, I think we kind of finished talking about a little bit about the importance, because here was this other wife of Elkanah who was giving Hannah a hard time, and especially when they went up to worship, a time of worship. And I think if you remember, we spent some time talking about the importance that when we come to the house of God, that we come with a right good spirit, wanting to help one another, instead of wanting to be a hindrance to one another. We ought to come, instead of lambasting someone, as this is what this lady did to Hannah, we ought to come encouraging and trying to help each other as we gather together in God's house to worship the Lord. And I think that's very important. It's so important what kind of spirit that we walk in those doors with. We come in with a good spirit, a good friendly spirit, a good kind spirit. They oughtn't to be any evil talk going on in the house of God. There oughtn't be any going on anywhere, but they oughtn't be them kind of talk going in the house of God. We ought to be here to encourage one another and help one another, hear the word of God preached, sing together. Hey, did you know the choir is going to sing for the first time this morning? I'm looking forward to that. They're singing this morning for the first time. I think it's going to be great, and they'll just do a fine job. But that's encouraging. And so we ought to encourage one another. This lady did not do that. She made Hannah cry. The Bible says she wept. And so again, it's just important. That's one of those principles that we can learn as we come to the house of God, come with a good spirit, a smile on our face, and saying, I'm glad you're here. If you ever get down and you're in the dumps, come on to Sunday school and get here about 5 minutes early and walk up here in front and talk to these little ones. That'll just lift you up. Amen. They're just so precious. and that'll just put a new spirit in you, I'll tell you right now, because they're precious. Now, you're going to get all kinds of answers and things they'll tell you. It's amazing. Some will look at you like, I don't want to be here this morning. You know, but you just love them, and you know, they're just, they'll take, and then others, they're just all beaming and happy. You know, it's just all in the mood they're in about that time. Amen? But they're just great, and they're sweet, and they'll lift your spirit. So we ought to come with that kind of a spirit, ready to walk in the door and say, and helping each other, and being a blessing to each other, see. And so anyway, I think that was a good principle there. that we could use. Not only that, I look at Hannah's prayer, and we're going to be talking about it for a little while, but I look at Hannah's prayer, and to me, it was a tremendous prayer. We'll be looking at it here in a few moments, but here's what I guess I would like. As I look at Hannah and I see how that she went to prayer, I look right before that, and it was in verse number 7 that I read there, and she did by year, and she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. You'll find that as she came to the house of God, she was burdened down. I mean, truly just burdened down. But I look at that, and I think, you know, what a time for her to go to the Lord in prayer. I got to thinking about that. What did she do when she was all burdened and tore up and in trouble and feeling all of this that was coming up on her? What did she do? Well, she went to the Lord in prayer. And I got to thinking about that. You know what? A lot of times when we are all downhearted, you know, and troubles are coming our way, do we go immediately to the Lord and begin to get on our knees and cry out to God? Or whether we get on our knees or not, begin to cry out to God and say, God, I need your help? Or do we begin to try to figure out what to do and get all upset about the problem that comes? What I'm saying, I guess, is Hannah showed me something. You know what? The best thing you can do is when troubles come, and even when through people here who was giving her a hard time, what did she do? She went to God in prayer. You know, the Bible tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. That's over in the book of Luke. And it says that Jesus was in agony, but he prayed more earnestly. And so again, I learned from that. I think, you know what, that's what we need to do. We need to remember when there is trouble and heartaches beset us, where do we need to go? We need to get alone with God and pray. Amen. So again, there are some principles that I believe will be a help to us. Many times we wring our hands and begin to worry, and sometimes call up our friends and say, boy, this has happened to me and I'm in just so much trouble. The greatest thing you do is call up your greatest friend, the Lord Jesus, and talk to him. Amen. You know, instead of wringing our hands and worrying over these things, let's talk to God. That's what Hannah did. And again, I think that's a great principle that we can certainly learn from that. See, she maybe couldn't do anything else about the problem she was in, but she could pray. And she prayed. And God answered that prayer. And it's a sweet prayer. But in other words, I want to show you, though, in verse number 11. Let's read it. And she vowed a vow. Well, let's read verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and again said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You notice in that verse of scripture, there was three times she called herself a handmaid. In this, what I find is this. She was willing to come to the Lord and humble herself. She didn't come saying, Lord, you know, I deserve this. I need this. You know, this is something that you ought to do for me. She comes saying, Lord, I'm just your handmaid. Three times in that one verse of scripture, she come in humility, was saying, I'm just your handmaid. That's all I am. Lord, I'm beseeching you because I'm your handmaid. I'm just coming to you and asking. I need your help. And again, I believe something. I believe that's the way we ought to approach God. We ought to approach God with a sense of humility before God Almighty. Folks, we're nothing. We're nothing. Amen. We can't do anything without him. He's all in all. And it's okay if we admit that to him. In fact, I believe that's what he wants us to do, to come in humility here. Yes, we're just your handmaids. We're just your servants. God, we need your help. And that's what she did. I believe there's a real problem there in some areas of Christianity. I believe there's people now sitting on the, we might want to call it the shelf, instead of really doing much for God anymore because of their pride. There's a horrible thing in Christianity where pride rises up and we become important. We're better than someone else. We deserve this. That's a wicked thing. We need to constantly understand that we are absolutely nothing without Jesus Christ, and in humility approach Him. Again, that's something I've learned here. I mean, I think I knew a lot of it, but I still reinforced it from Hannah. The way that Hannah came to the Lord and prayed was a wonderful, wonderful showing forth of humility, you see. And of course, that's what our Lord did. If He could humble Himself and become man and die for us on a cross of Calvary, I think maybe it would be good if we decided we could humble ourselves to serve Him and be humble in the spirit we have in serving our Lord. Then also, if you notice, I want you to look at her prayer, about her prayer. Look in verse number 10. It says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord." Notice there it says she was in bitterness of soul and she wept sore. I mean, this lady was in dire need. I mean, she had come what I guess I would call to the wit's end. She had come to the end of the rope and tied a knot on it and was hanging on. She was in dire need, and the Bible says she wept sore. And in verse 11 said she even made a vow unto God. She says, he says, and they vowed a vow, and we'll talk about that in a little while, but she vowed a vow unto God. She said, "I'll do this, God." And in verse number 13 says, "And now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken." The Bible says she spake from the heart. Again, I think these are wonderful principles that we can learn as we go to God in prayer. Where should that prayer come from? From our heart. Amen. Deep down in our heart. It's a heart need, you see, and she felt that. Look in verse number 15. It says, and Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit." You'll notice there, she said, "I'm of a sorrowful spirit." I mean, she was in dire need. She had some definite need, and she knew the only place she could get that taken care of was with the Lord. So she went to the Lord, see. And you kind of get a sense of her situation, the way she was feeling. As you look at these verses of Scripture here, where she was weeping and she was sorrowful of spirit, and she's, you know, and her heart was hurting over all of this. And so this is the way she came unto the Lord. I don't want you to answer me, but I have a feeling I could tell you probably there's been times when you've been there too. It just seems like the bottom has fallen out. Amen? I think that's where Hannah was. And he just, you know, and I might say to you, you know, God works so well when the bottoms fell out. For He knows you don't have any strength left yourself, and you know you're going to give the glory to Him. And as we'll see, that's exactly what Hannah did. She understood there was nothing she could do. She had to come to God for help, you see. And so I just want you to understand that her praying was not just something that she just quoted once in a while or said once in a while. I mean, she was in dead earnest. Have you ever heard that expression? I mean, dead earnest. I mean, she meant it. She was in straits and she needed God. Well, can't we learn from that? Where do we need to go? We need to get alone with Him and talk with Him and cry out to Him. I think one of the most wonderful things, I can stand up here today and I can look out at all the different people and I can say to you, God loves you. And God will hear your prayer. Yes, He will. Amen. You know, He cares about your situation, your problem. Maybe it ain't the same one Hannah's got. But He cares about your situation, your concerns, just as much. And He will answer those prayers. But I want you to notice, too, though, of course, over in James it tells us, "For it is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much." Hannah was not just saying a little prayer. And I'm not trying to just put all the actions, but the reason she was weeping and the reason she was feeling like this is because it was inside. Her heart felt that. See, she wasn't just conjuring up some tears. She wasn't doing that. It was coming from in here. She was hurting, you see, and she was effectually, fervently praying. That's what God wants us to do. Come to that time when just, you know, we just know that He's the only help. And get along with Him and call out, you know, effectually, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You see, that's what God says, you see. All right, not only that, in verse number 12, look, it says, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. But the thing that I want to mention there is the fact that her prayer was a consistent prayer. It continued. I mean, this was such a burden to her heart. She just kept crying out to God. He uses the word continued there. She continued in prayer. And it wasn't something she just said and then forgot it. She cried out to God until that thing was assured that it was going to be answered. And we'll cover that in a moment. But she continued in her prayer, you see. And let me encourage you about something. Just because a prayer is not immediately answered does not mean God is saying no. Boy, remember that, because we are a people, and especially nowadays, we want everything to happen now. Microwave. Done in a minute. Amen? What I want to encourage you about is this. It doesn't necessarily mean He's saying no if it's delayed. He knows the timing. He knows when everything is right and proper. So don't be discouraged when you pray and all at once things don't immediately happen. Remember, God's timing is perfect. And He is in the process of answering our prayers. Amen. Sometimes He has to work through other people to get that done. And that takes time, God's time, you see. So just remember, God does answer prayer. Amen. And just because He doesn't answer today doesn't mean He said no to that prayer. Amen. Okay, another thing. She specifically prayed. If you'll notice in verse number 11, what it says there, it said, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on my affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, but not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child. I want to stress there that she was specific about her prayer. She said, she didn't just say, I want a child. She said, I want a man child. And of course, I think there was a lot of reasons for that. If you look back into it, and we covered that a little bit as we started, the condition of Israel at that time needed leadership. It needed somebody to rise up. It was in terrible, terrible conditions. And she knew there needed to be a man child, a man raised up to lead that nation. Possibly also she had in mind maybe it would be the Messiah. He would be the Messiah. And so I guess in that again, as we learn these things and we think about these things, let's learn something. God wants us to pray specifically. What is your need? Name it out to Him. Don't be, we do too much general praying. There's time for general praying. Because you can't. But on your knees, alone with God, tell Him exactly what it is you need. If you need a problem solved, tell Him the problem and tell Him you need it solved. You say, He knows it anyway. I know it, but He wants to hear you talk about it. He wants to hear you tell Him what it is. And again, she specifically prayed, not just for a child. She said, God, you give me a man child. And that's exactly what God did. So again, I think we can learn there that the Lord is helping us through this to understand we need to pray specifically. What is the need, you see? And sometimes maybe our prayers can't be as specific as others, but folks, when we know what we need to ask God for it. Amen? We need to ask Him for that. Don't just get so general in our praying. I think that'll help us if you remember that. He's a heavenly Father who loves you. If you, when you was a child, or I know When my children were young, you know, if they wanted something, they was pretty specific about they's wanting. They didn't walk up to me and say, "Daddy, give me something." They said, "Daddy, I want a new ball, I want a new bat," or whatever it was, you know, a new dress, or whatever it was. They didn't say, just come up and say, "Daddy, give me something." And if we don't be careful, that's the way we do God. "Father, give me something." "Well, what is it you want, son? What is your need?" See? And we need to pray specifically. Tell God exactly what the problem is, what the need is. Amen? So again, can we learn from Hannah? Oh, I think so. A wonderful prayer that she offered up here, and a tremendous prayer. And not only that, I want you to notice something, and this is maybe we'll get to all of us, but she didn't pray selfishly. I mean, she had a spirit of, "Yes, I want this man child, but God, I'm going to give him back to you." Listen. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of my handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And I might just say to you again, a lot of times our prayers are selfish prayers. Now, I'm not condemning you. I'm saying if we don't be careful, a lot of times our prayers is selfish. We ask God for something so it'll better us, better our life, rather than, "Okay, God, you give me this, and I'm going to see to it that my life, yes, may be bettered, but it's bettered for your benefit." See, she wasn't just a selfish prayer here asking God for a son, which would have been a wonderful thing. She wanted a son, but she said, "I want him so he'll serve you. I want him so he'll be used of you, God." See, that was not selfishness. So again, can't we learn, if you'll just listen, should not our prayers be unselfish prayers? We may ask for something that we may need, but God, if it's something I need, I want it so that I can be a better servant of yours, or that maybe I can return it back somewhere else, a channel I could be. Amen? So again, there's a wonderful principle there that I believe that Hannah is teaching us. See, it was not a selfish thing. In fact, what she was saying was, she was saying this: "God, you give me that son, I'm going to give him to you for the rest of his life." And when she talked about no razor will come to his head, what she was speaking there about was a Nazarite vow, which simply was a vow that meant complete and full dedication to God. He would be a pure young man. He would be completely dedicated to you for the rest of his life. Not only am I going to, God, want him to be your helper, I want him to honor you with his whole life. I wanted him to live in such a way that would bring honor and glory to you, God. You understand what I'm saying? See, this was not a selfish prayer. This was a prayer to honor God. See, and I think ladies probably understand this real well. If you have a child, you know, wouldn't it be pretty hard to say, in Hannah's case I'm talking about, "I'm going to give him back to you, God. I mean, I'm going to literally take him to the temple," or the tabernacle. It was called temple at that time, but it was in a more permanent state, but it was the tabernacle. "I'm going to take him back there. I'm going to just give him to you." I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm pretty sure that'd be difficult, wouldn't it, ladies? Say, "I'm just going to give up my son. I'm going to bring him to the tabernacle and let him live there so he can be a servant of God." That'd be difficult. But what we can do, and I don't think God has asked us to bring him to the temple or the tabernacle and give him, but he has asked us to give our children to God for his service. And give them, and to some degree say there's going to be no razor come to his head. In other words, he's going to be completely dedicated. He's going to live the right kind of life for the rest of his life, so he'll honor you, God, not only be your helper, but he'll honor you for the rest of his life. See, and that's what Hannah did. So I think we can learn again from that what Hannah's teaching us through this story, and say, you know, Hannah gave her son to God. Said, "Just use him however you want it." She didn't know how God was going to use him. No way. She didn't know that. She said, just use him. Amen. In whatever way you want to use him, just use him. And we want him to be the kind of person that will honor you. Then also, you'll notice that, and we'll, verse 13 and 14, I'll go ahead and read those. Let me read verse 12. And it came to pass as they continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Now, if you'll notice here, when Eli, the priest, he was the high priest, he looked at her and he saw her lips moving. He thought she was drunk. He wasn't very observant either. His spiritual life was a mess too, as we've already talked about. But here he was, the high priest. But let me just say something to you. Usually, a drunken person is just the opposite. Usually, they're boisterous and loud. And here her lips was moving, but she was speaking from her heart. If we don't be careful, we'll speak with our lips and our heart won't be in it. Reversed. But she was speaking just by her lips. She wasn't giving forth a sound, but speaking with her lips. She was speaking unto God in a quiet manner, but she was speaking from her heart. Amen. What a prayer. And again, that's the way God wants us to pray, from the heart. And that's why I want to encourage you, and I hope I've done that this morning. I want to encourage you, folks, don't be afraid to go to your Heavenly Father and talk to Him. If you're God's child, if you've been born again into God's family, you have absolutely the right to go to God and speak to Him and talk to Him about your needs. In fact, that's not only the right, that's what He wants you to do. Don't be afraid to go to your Heavenly Father and talk to Him about your troubles and your needs, and certainly talk to Him about other things also. Rejoice with Him and talk about how good He is and all those things, but don't be afraid to talk to Him and just say, God, I have this need. And maybe everybody else don't have this need, but God, I have this need. This is something I have, I need. I need You to help me. Amen. So the Lord is telling us there that we need to be praying from the heart. Amen. Now, there's other times in the scripture when that was also to remember on the day of Pentecost. You know, they thought they was drunk because they was speaking in an unknown language and they thought they was drunk. You see, sometimes your dedication to God might be misunderstood. The world doesn't understand dedication to the Lord. There's no way they can. But don't ever be thrown by the fact that others may look at you and say, I don't understand why you're in church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. And I don't understand why you read the Bible at home. And I don't understand why you teach your children all the... Don't be thrown by that. They won't understand. They have misconceptions about that. But you understand. Don't you? You understand that you need this, and it's part of should be the way you live. You understand that. That's why you do it. You see. Not only that, in verse 18, I love this because Hannah went away. Let me read verse 18. Or excuse me, 17 said. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I mean, she wasn't weeping anymore. She wasn't sad anymore. It even showed on her face, her countenance. You know, we've talked before about our countenance, what it shows, what it displays. And she went away from there. You know why she went away with a great countenance on her face? She just learned that her prayer is going to be answered. And she believed God. That God was going to do it. Isn't that wonderful? And here the high priest had just confirmed it. Verse 17, the high priest had said, God answer your prayer. She went and said, okay, God's going to answer my prayer. She went away with a joy in her heart and a smile on her face because her countenance changed. Amen? And let me again say to you, many times in my life when I've prayed about something, it was almost, God has said to me at times, You don't have to bring that to me anymore. I'm answering it. Many times. I just got the sweet assurance that it was all taken care of. Now, it hadn't been yet, but I just got the sweet assurance in my heart. God was saying, I'll take care of it. And I think that's what happened to Hannah here. She just knew it was completed, done. She knew it was going to happen. And you know what? There's times when, and God gives you that sweet assurance. Just says, okay, now you've prayed about this, you've prayed about it. I'm going to take care of it. It's okay. I remember I could give you specific things, but I think maybe one of them I'd done before. It was a young man who had run away from home. And we was praying. We was fasting with the father and mother. We agreed to fast with them, prayed about it. And the daddy came to me, and he said, you know what? He said, God has just told me it's okay. He said, I don't even have to fast anymore. He said, God's told me it's okay. Within 3 days, the boy was home. He said, I'm just going to trust God because I know he's told me it's okay. 3 days, the boy was home on his doorstep. I'm just simply saying to you, God sometimes just puts that on and says, okay, it's all right. I'm taking care of it. Amen. It's as good as done. It's completed. In verse number 20, we find that he was born. Victory. Victory over what this girl wanted, what this young lady wanted, was she wanted a child, and God gave her a child. If you'll notice too, she named him Samuel because he was asked of God, and truthfully that was even saying right there, that was saying God did this for me, and I'm going to give God the honor. I ask him of God. And God gave him to me. And even in the name, she was giving honor back to God. See, we got to be careful sometimes when God does things for us. We remember whence it came from. Amen. It's pretty easy for things to come our way. Prayers answered, and we forget who answered them for us. We've got to be very, very careful about that. In verse 20 also, you notice the time of his birth. I like that because he came just at the proper right time. God does everything in right timing. And he sent this man, a young man, a baby here, called Samuel, just for the right timing. You know why? Israel needed a leader. Israel needed a judge. And they needed a judge like Samuel. Do you ever know that God is just good about being on time? Do you ever notice that? He's just good about being on time. He's never 1 minute late, never 1 minute early. He's just on time. And he proved it here because surely Israel would have done nothing but go downhill more and more and more if God had not sent a man. It was a critical time in the history of Israel, and he came just right. In chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. I think she could have. I don't know whether she did, but she could have looked at Peniah and said, so there. God gave me a child. I don't know that she did that. I'm just saying she could have. She said here in verse number 1, she was saying, God help me. God did this for me. I had victory, and the victory was shown in the fact that God gave me that son that I asked for. I might just make mention something there too. Whenever we ask God for something, remember something. What he gives you, you become the steward of that. Now you think with me. When you ask God of something and he gives it to you, you then become the steward of that which he gave you. So when you pray, remember, if God gives it to you, you are the steward of it. She gave her a son, and she became the steward of that son. It was her responsibility then to take that son and teach him and train him, bring him up in the right way as long as she was going to have him. If we have time, we'll talk about that. But we got to remember that when God does that and gives us something, we become the steward. Now, I'd like to show you one other thing before we close. In verse 23, it says, "And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him." God said, you keep him till you've weaned him. Now, folks, I'm just going to give you what this preacher believes. I do not know. I cannot name the amount of years that Hannah had Samuel in her home, in her training. All I do know is this. I do know that she had him long enough to put into him things that would last for the rest of his life. When I look at this, I've heard people say, well, I think he was 1 year old, 2 year old. I've said maybe 3 year old. If you want to ask me, I think he was probably 4 or 5 years old. And the reason I'm saying he may have even been a little older than that, I don't know. I honestly don't know, but I know this. I heard a man say once he'd done a study on the word weaned. And the word weaned basically says until he was well dealt with. Well dealt with. And I believe, but all, and the reason I'm saying basically this is because if you look at the life here, you take a young little boy that was brought to the temple. He had things in him, spiritual things that had been put in him that would last for the rest of his life. And I don't think Eli put them in him. I think Hannah did. And she done that at a very, very young age. Let me say to you, don't ever forget that these little sweet children can learn, and when they should learn is at a very, very early age, even from babyhood. Don't ever think that a little child cannot learn. It's amazing to me because the world wants to put more and more secular learning into the child, and we in Christianity think our children are too young to learn the spiritual truths. They are not. They can learn from a very little age the things of God and should learn them, should be putting into them at very early ages the things of God. I, again, certainly do not know because the Scripture doesn't say, and I believe the Scripture, and I don't want to make a comment and say, well, I know he was 7 or 8. I don't know how old he is, but I know this. He was old enough for her to put some things in him that where he was well dealt with.